Yes.
Brothers and sisters in Christ,
The Lord is with us this morning, and His Spirit resides and dwells among us. So the peace of Christ be with each and every one of you all this morning. Today is a wonderful day as we turn to the Scripture, and Jesus preaches to our hearts, and we receive the good news that Jesus will be speaking through Parker today. I wanted to just bring your attention to two different things in the insert in your bulletin. We are doing the music and arts camp this summer, and that is, I love that. It's so much fun. And Hannah is going to be doing that and giving that leadership. And we still need some volunteers to help with that. And so if you feel like you're called to help out with some kids, if you like music or if you like kids or you like kids and music, that's a perfect opportunity to use your gifts that God's given you. Just contact Hannah, and her contact info is in there. And if you flip over onto the other side, I'm really thankful for this. Dr. Pavlik, Ed Pavlik here, that attends here, has put together a Zoom. It's a program that helps us to understand frauds and scams that are on the internet and ways that you can be aware of that and protect yourself from it. And so it's going to be on Zoom on Monday, June 15th, and there all the information there that you need to join in is there. Certainly want to invite you to that. Ed and I both be on that, along with the presenter that he's lined up to give for that presentation. I think it's a really good thing. We as Christians, we are so giving, and we model Christ in our lives, and we do freely give. But sadly, this world is... not everything is true out there, especially on the internet. And there are those that would like to take advantage of our generosity. And so I want to invite you to that. Now I want to also invite you to stand and to greet your neighbor and share the peace of Christ with them. It's a wonderful thing, just the joy in the room. I love it. Let us pray together. Jesus, you have heard our joy, the joy that comes forth from our heart. And this is an expression of how we, as your church, are bound together in love, love of you and love of one another. And Lord, we sense that, not only with one another, but we sense that in your presence with us as well. Today, Lord, we turn to your word to learn about how you enter into places, and you are not corruptible at all. You're incorruptible, and you breathe life and bring life into the dead places of our lives. And so Jesus breathed that life into us. For some of us, we are on our last breath this morning, and we need your Spirit to aliven us and waken us. And so do your work, Almighty God. We pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Today we are celebrating one of two sacraments of the United Methodist Church, and it's that of Holy Communion. So as our men are coming forward, I want to plant that seed in you. Expect God's presence in the midst of the Eucharist and expect to be changed.
Empty. The plate's always full, and
I invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship. Come into God's presence. Come, saints and sinners alike, for the table of grace is for everyone.
We are all God's children.
Faith has brought us here, and the table of grace is open for all.
Grace will make us whole.
Come, let us worship and receive the lavish gift of grace.
Thank you.
God delights in your singing and in your worship. I love to imagine Jesus, when he walked this earth, singing the Psalms. But for us, we'll read it responsibly. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Delight in praise, O you upright.
Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to the Lord with a harp of ten strings.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts.
Upright is the word of the Lord, whose work is done in faithfulness.
The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord.
By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by all their hosts, by the breath of God's mouth.
The Lord gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle, and put the deeps in storehouses.
Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe.
For the Lord spoke, and it came to be. The Lord commanded, and it stood forth.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing, and frustrates the plans of the people.
The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of God's heart to all generations.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom the Lord has chosen as a heritage.
Be seated, and as you are seated, our children are invited to come forward for a message with Miss Hannah.
All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Guess what I brought with me today?
Band-aids.
Raise your hand if you like to wear Band-Aids.
Yes, I need
Band-Aids. Yes, my children like Band-Aids. Sometimes you put Band-Aids on even if you don't really need one? Sometimes, yes. What do you use Band-Aids for? Yeah, your sister does
boo-boos.
That. For boo-boos. Well, would you put a Band-Aid on if you didn't have a boo-boo?
No.
No, Band-Aids are for people that have like an injury, right? And when somebody's hurt, they need help. That's why we have doctors and nurses, right? So we're going to talk about a story. I'm not going to put a Band-Aid on you right now, okay? We can always find a place that might could use a Band-Aid. Today, we're going to talk about a story in the Bible about two people, Jesus and a man named Matthew, okay? So Matthew was a tax collector, and people, they didn't always like tax collectors because taxes are money that goes to the government, and the tax collectors, they would collect all the money, but then sometimes they might even take more than what they're supposed to take, which is kind of like cheating. So people did not always like tax collectors, but Jesus walked up to Matthew one day, and he said two words. He said, follow me. Can you say that?
Follow me.
What do you think Matthew said?
Why?
That would have been a good question. It's like, I don't know why. Yeah, but you know what? Matthew followed Jesus, right? Matthew followed Jesus, and later Jesus was eating a meal with Matthew and some other tax collectors. So these were all people that people would think of as like sinners or cheaters or liars. And the religious leaders, the people who were in charge of the church, they didn't like that because they thought that Jesus should only spend time with people who were really good. What do you think?
Yes.
Jesus didn't come only for good people, right? So this is what Jesus said. It's in the Bible. It's in the book of Matthew. You see how I marked the page here? It's in the book of Matthew chapter 9. He said, those who are healthy don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have not come to get those who think they are right with God to follow me. I've come to get sinners to follow me. Well, what does that mean?
That.
If you went to a hospital and you said, okay, doctor, I don't want you helping any sick people. I only want you to help healthy people. What would that doctor say? They would say, no, that wouldn't make any sense because just like the Band-Aids are for the boo-boos, the doctors are helping sick people, not necessarily healthy people. But Jesus, he wasn't necessarily saying that people had the sick bodies. He was talking about hearts, okay? Raise your hand if you've ever sinned. I'm looking out at you guys too. Yeah. Right. We all sin, right? We all need Jesus. So Matthew knew that he needed Jesus. So when Jesus called him, Matthew was able to go with him. Do you guys think that Jesus loves people who make mistakes?
Yeah.
The same as people who don't make as many mistakes?
Yeah.
He will forgive us. That's the thing, is when we make these mistakes and we sin, we have to ask for forgiveness from God and he forgives us. So Jesus came for the people who are sick, not just their bodies being sick, not just needing a Band-Aid, but when our hearts are a little bit sick, when we make mistakes, when we do wrong things, Jesus is there to be in a relationship with us, to love us and to forgive us. So that's our Bible story for today. Let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving us even when we make mistakes. God, we thank you for this story about Matthew in the Bible as a reminder that, God, you came to save sinners with your grace. God, help us to love you just like Matthew did when you said, follow me, and Matthew followed you. God, help us to follow you in that same way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go upstairs.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to pray with me the prayer of yearning that you see printed in the bulletin. And let us come together and confess our hearts. Loving God, we yearn to be as merciful with others as you are with us. We long to set aside past grudges and love others for who they are now. We are tired of sitting in judgment and failing to see others as your beloved children. Fill us with your grace that we might have enough faith to walk in your ways and to seek the healing of your world. Amen. Hear this wonderful news. By the grace of the Father in heaven, our faith has made us well. In the grace of Jesus Christ, our faith has led us home. And through the grace of the Holy Spirit, our faith has made us whole. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, the steadfast love that you offer us never changes. Your mercy never comes to an end. They are new each morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. And how thankful we are to be able to come into this beautiful place and without fear of reprisal, lift our hearts to you, lift our lives to you. Lord, thank you for your presence. And I do pray, Lord, at the same time for people who seek to worship you in spirit and truth across the world, sometimes in very fear of their lives. I pray for all of those under persecution, all of those under threat. Lord, preserve your people, we pray. Lord, we have so many things to be thankful for. We thank you for this beautiful, ordered universe that you have created. I thank you that we are not just a swirling mass of cells, but that we have consciousness, and you have made us in your very image. And Lord, I thank you most this morning for the fact that you have broken into history, that you came and dwelt among us, that you lived and died and rose again, that we might be your people forever. Thank you, Lord, that you have indeed given us the chance to become like you. Lord, this morning we lift up to you brothers and sisters and persons across the world that are under threat of war, under threat of famine, under threat of disease. We pray for all of these persons. Lord, we name in our hearts persons that are near and dear to us, that are fighting against disease and disability. Lord, we ask that you would be at work in many of these lives. And Lord, for all that are sick, all that are downcast, all who are in trouble, we lift them to you and pray for your presence. We pray for peace wherever it is needed. Lord, we thank you for your servant, Parker Outman, and I thank you for his deep scholarship, but I thank you most for his love of your word and that he has dedicated his life to you. So, Lord, give him the words as he speaks to us today. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now worship the Lord with our tithes and with our offerings.
To our friends, to gather.
Jesus, we thank you for your presence in our midst, in the midst of this service, and how you touch us with your grace divine. And so, Lord, as you reveal yourself more deeply to us in this hour of worship, we respond to you. We give to you our lives. Lord, we give to you our tithes and our offerings. But we also look on the table and see that you give of yourself for us. And so, Lord, bless us, we pray, as we gather around your table today, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13 and 18 through 26. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as his dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." As Jesus was saying this, the leader of a synagogue came and knelt before him. "My daughter has just died," he said, "but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand on her." So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Just then, a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and he heard the funeral music. "Get out," he told them. "The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. The report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, church family. I've got a question for you. What's wrong with the world? You got a couple of ideas? Maybe you know some people who have some ideas. The Pharisees sure had some ideas. They were scholars of the Old Testament, and they knew well from their own history as a people, from their research, that what was wrong with the world was that God's presence was not dwelling in the temple. That because of their people's consistent disobedience, because of their struggles with sin, God's presence was not dwelling with them. Now, the Pharisees, they loved this book in the Bible called Leviticus. Can you imagine loving Leviticus? But it has all of these rules and regulations to ensure that God's presence will dwell in the temple. And so the Pharisees knew in their mind that if we could get everyone to follow the rules, the world would be set right. Everything would be okay. Everything that is wrong with the world could be put right. And so we see them in the New Testament going around nitpicking everybody, right? Going around and saying, well, Jesus, you weren't supposed to heal on the Sabbath, or Jesus, your disciples ate while they were walking on the Sabbath, or all of these things that we think. And we think, oh, they're so strange and so different than us. But truth be told, it's really easy to fall into thinking like the Pharisees, that what's wrong with the world would be set right if X or Y was different, if this type of person was different or not around, if we could push them out, maybe everything would be okay. What they fail to see is that that presence of God that they so long to come dwell in the temple has indeed come to dwell among us in the person of Jesus. But Jesus has no fear of going right into the mess rather than pushing it out. And we see this in three different ways in this passage. The first scene or sequence that we see, Jesus is walking along and he sees a tax collector's booth. Now, tax collector's the way that we translate it, and that's certainly one way to think about it, but it's almost like Matthew is serving as a customs and border patrol person, someone who's posted up in the midst of the province of Judea, but who represents everything that's wrong with the world. The Roman Empire's oppression of God's people. This little booth, and there are many of them across the land, is a symbol of that evil empire that is keeping God's people from being who they should be, that indeed when God's presence comes to dwell with us again, if we could just get everybody to behave appropriately, Rome will be gone. No more toll booths. But Jesus sees this symbol of everything that's wrong with the world, and he looks to the man inside of it, and he says, come follow me. And unlike our very wise children, Matthew doesn't say why. He follows. And indeed, Jesus joins him for dinner, and he's surrounded by other tax collectors, other symbols of everything that's wrong with the world. And the Pharisees, as they do, come by and they see what's happening. And they, I think smartly, but maybe a little sneakily, don't confront Jesus directly, do they? They pull his disciples out and they say, why is your teacher being so weird? Why is he eating and spending time with everything that's wrong with the world? Why would you do that? Doesn't that condone the problem? Doesn't that make everything worse? To allow them to join them when they are what's wrong with us, they should be pushed out. But Jesus overhears them and says these powerful words from Hosea chapter 6. I want you to go and learn this word. God desires mercy, not your sacrifices. The Pharisees loved their sacrifices. And indeed, they served a wonderful purpose to cleanse the temple so that God might dwell. But God has come to dwell in a new way. Jesus, the very image of God, the source of life abundant, the creator of the universe, cannot become defiled or made unclean by sin. In fact, the opposite happens. He overcomes that and transforms it by drawing them to himself. And in this very busy day for Jesus, we see that happen again, as someone bursts onto the scene and says, Jesus, my daughter has died, but if you would come and touch her, she will be healed. Now, again, this is a no-no for our Leviticus-loving Pharisees, for to touch a dead body is to make oneself unclean. But this is what this man asks for. Come and touch my daughter who has died. And Jesus gets up and is on his way to go when again he is stopped. A very, very busy day for Jesus. A woman sees him and says, "This is my chance." She's been suffering for 12 years with this bleeding issue. She's probably, because of it, unable to get married. And as a woman in the first century, this means that she really has no livelihood. She has no means to be cared for. And maybe many of the Pharisees walked by her at some point, if we can learn from the story of the Good Samaritan, and said, "Oh, bless your heart. I'm so sorry. But there's nothing I can do for you. You are affected by what's wrong with the world. I can't let you in. You have to stay away." But she, seizing an opportunity, touches God's very cloak. And Jesus turns to her, and in what would have made him unclean, were he anyone else, she is made clean, and he proclaims her as a daughter. "You are well. You are restored." Jesus arrives at the man's house, the synagogue leader whose daughter has passed away, and the funeral seems to have already been started. The bells are ringing, the flutes are playing, and Jesus approaches her and touches her, and she is made well. A very, very busy day for Jesus. But these are not just random stories all tied together. This is not just a unique sequence of events. We see something in these passages more than just Jesus doing cool things on a really busy day. We see God's cohesive response to what's wrong with the world in comparison to the Pharisees, that Jesus draws everything that's wrong to him and transforms it and gives it new life. That when it comes to human beings, Jesus is abundantly merciful in drawing them to himself. That Matthew, this tax collector, someone who has bought in and profited quite literally off of everything that's wrong with the world, is not someone to be pushed away, but someone to be transformed. That this woman with the issue of bleeding is not unclean. It's not someone to be pushed to the side and, "Oh, we're so sorry for what this has happened to you, and all of this is so wrong, but rules are rules." Mercy breaks rules. To be merciful. I desire mercy, not your sacrifices. Or this ultimate problem of death, this unconquerable, horrific force in the world, Jesus comes to it, is not corrupted by it, but transforms it into life itself. The question for the church of every generation, those past, the original audience of this gospel, for ourselves and for the next generation, when we come to passages like this, is, are we inspired by the Pharisees, or are we inspired by Jesus? We, after all, are the body of Christ. Should we not draw those to us in mercy who are in need of help, expecting that Jesus will transform them? The root of the problem for the Pharisees and the root of the problem for some of us is, do we trust truly that Jesus is more powerful than all of the forces that work against us? Is Jesus more powerful than what's wrong with the world? that if we draw things, people, to us, the body of Christ, the church, to Jesus, do we trust that they will be transformed more than we fear that we will be corrupted? Because this is what Jesus does. He does not say, oh, these are not problems. He does not say, everything's okay. It's the response that's different. Do we draw it to himself in mercy? On the other hand, on the other side of the coin, maybe you don't feel like a Pharisee. Maybe you feel like you've been made to be unclean. Maybe you fear, I don't want to corrupt Jesus. I don't want to hurt the church. I don't want to draw near because he would have nothing to do with me. It's not true. We see Jesus' response to all of these things is to draw us near in mercy. Do we believe, honestly, that yes, Jesus is stronger than any of those other things, and that in coming to him, we can be transformed? Me, you, anybody. God calls us, and God calls us to his table. And as I invite Joan to come preside over the table today, I want to remind you that there's real power here, that Jesus' real presence is here. And if you have felt unclean or have been made to feel that way, or if you feel like you need forgiveness for a way that you maybe feel you've made someone else feel unclean, the table's set for you. Come and experience Christ afresh.
I come to you with fear and trembling because this space is sacred. It is a sacred space where we can be transformed. And I want to hearken back to my first year of seminary when one of my professors was trying desperately to get the word holy into our not only our minds, but our hearts. And he took his Bible, and I was in awe of him, obviously, and he took his Bible, which had been worn with years of reading, and he said, "This is just a book." And I went, "Oh, my goodness. It's going to strike soon." He said, "It is just a book, but God does something to it. God makes it holy." And that so impacted me that I was transformed. But I would say to you that this table prepared by human hands, women who love Jesus have cut this bread and poured this wine, and God has taken it and is transforming it into a wonderful glimpse of the Holy One, where you and I can be changed. It is a good thing to come into God's holy presence. It is a good thing. So I invite you to move through the communion liturgy with me, and we will expect an encounter with the Holy One. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets who looked for that day when justice shall roll down the waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with the people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name in joining in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. Gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glories is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. I invite those who are assisting to serve to come and let us worship this way. vantage point was a sacred one, for in it I saw eye contact amongst you. I saw a child come up to the table and say, thank you. I saw God in our midst because of you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We invite you to stand and sing the closing hymn. Now let us from this table rise.
There's a story about a Catholic priest who was once worried that he was too lenient with his congregation at confession. And he went to pray his own confession, and as he looked to the cross, he said, "If I have been too merciful, Lord, then it's your fault. For you were a bad example." Our God is abounding in mercy. And the world needs that. And you go into it knowing that God has been merciful with you. So go be merciful with others. You are loved by us here at Southern Hills, your church family, and you are so dearly loved by our God. Go in peace. We'll see you next week.